Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, holy crap.
Dude, if I told you at halftime we were going to win that game by 20-plus points, what would you have said?
Dude, I was heading into halftime. So yesterday's bet online, bet of the day that I put was I had money on the Nuggets money line. They were getting, there was plus 190. And I was like, this is too good of a team to ever be getting plus 190 type odds, right? And heading into halftime, I was like,
easy
here's
money.
Here's my money.
You're betting against the Lakers, Anthony?
You know, I said it on the show. I hoped I would be wrong. That's a few bucks that I'm happily gonna, you know, discard. It's $5 well spent. No, but I mean, good Lord, dude. You run out of, you know, hyperventilating praise at some point. I was watching this game again with Jen, and it started later, right? So Avery's already in bed. And on multiple occasions, Jen was like, Fred, you have to shut the bleep up.
Are you sure that had anything to do with basketball?
In general, but like, especially.
Yeah, it's no, one thing. Wooing and hooting and hollering. And yeah, it was such a fun half.
She was saying, you know, we were watching this game and she's like, it has been a long time since the Lakers made you make those noises.
Yeah.
there was a play where Kuzma had the ball on the right wing and Harrell flashed right down the middle of the key. And you saw the angle of the pass that Kuzma had to make. Harrell's like, doing jumping jacks in the middle of the key.
I'm open. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I haven't been like that kind of engaged in a Laker game in a really, really long time. Yeah. And it's simply because this team, dude, like, we're going to talk about it in the third segment. And by the way, today we're going to start talking about the defense here in a second for the first segment. And then in the second segment, we're going to get to some individual shout outs. I thought a few players in particular deserve some praise here. And then in the third segment, we're going to revisit the conversation that we started this season with, right? About this being the most talented roster of our lifetimes. We'll get to all of that. But yeah, let's talk about the defense. I mean, I thought they would take a step back this year because, especially against a team like the Denver Nuggets, because Dwight was so effective against Jokic for stretches and JaVale, I think, was always going to struggle in this kind of a matchup or whatever. But just in the second half for 24 full minutes, not counting garbage time there, 24 full minutes, they held the fourth best offense in the NBA. And by the way, it's a fourth best offense that hasn't even shot the ball very well. So like it's the fourth best offense that can greatly improve if they just like start making shots, and they looked hapless out there.
Yeah, that we're a swarm when we're at our best defensively, we're really swarming, and it's different by nature than last season's team with the rim protectors and the shot blocking. But we really saw our defensive speed is nuts, man. Mm-hmm. Especially throwing THT in the mix now too. That big run that we went in the second half, he did a phenomenal job on Jamal Murray. He got a couple of deflections. He's really tightening up a lot of his defensive mistakes. And so when you've got that size and speed and length, and then AD, I thought for as bad as he was in the first half, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go on. And we got this video coming out for Lakers tomorrow, pumping up AD. And I'm like, oh, this dude can't play like this tonight, right? He was great on defense in the second half. If nothing else, he was really, you know, not great on offense, but he was part of that, right? And so when you've got these athletes flying around, and then that leads to our transition game, Anthony, like we're way faster than Denver. That's where our advantage is.
Yeah.
We're way too stagnant and jump shooting. And I thought this game was interesting because it showed things we needed to work on in the first half. And then what it looks like when they work on them. Well, actually, but that's the thing is that we have another tier in that our half court offense, especially against switches, which Denver did a lot of switching against us. Our half court offense has not been great at all,
Yeah.
We just ran the crap out of it. We defended, and yeah. then we ran, and we just ran it down their throats. And they started that bigger starting lineup. You got Murray, who's normal size for a point guard, but Barton's big for his position. Mm-hmm. Jermichael Green, Paul Millsap, Nikola Jokic, right? You have a lot of size, but they're vulnerable to our speed. And our defensive speed, our speed on both ends of the court, just kicked the crap out of them in that second half.
Yeah, I thought this is going to be – I'd be surprised if Talen Horton-Tucker has very many games better than this one.
Oh, I think you're just getting started. I think
this season, you think he's going to keep getting better than that this season?
Bro,
it's pretty incredible.
I'm telling you, Anthony, this kid is not, I know.
People. I wish this was being videotaped right now. Pete literally just did the clapping thing. I'm telling you.
You have to understand it. No, he can hoop, man. He doesn't really know what he's doing yet, but he knows more than he did at the beginning of the season. And there's so much. Now, he made this play on defense where Jamal Murray made a really nice move. THT was trying to anticipate it, and he kind of split. He beat him off of the dribble. I don't think he was on a ball screen, but it reminded me of like a pick and roll split. And usually once you beat that guard, you're out of the play.
Mm-hmm.
Or he drives
in. And he just reaches in.
Bro.
Yeah,
he just reaches in and he gets a finger on the ball. Mm-hmm. He didn't get much of it, but it's enough to knock it off of Murray's leg. Mm-hmm. And now we're off to the races from there. And then you've got all these athletes, man. It's him and LeBron and Trez and all these dudes who could just fly up the court. It plays into a style of play that is really us at our best. KCP's been pretty bad for the last few games. We even saw kind of the rust start being knocked off him in part because we were running, and that's really the nature of our team, I think, when we're going to be at our best, is we're really going to run. And Mark's kind of fit into that is outlet passing and playing good defense, right? But at our best, we're going to be flying all over the place, and this is one of those games.
Yeah, that play that you're talking about with THT, it's again, I get nervous when I make this comparison or when I use this analogy, because people tend to think that like, oh, you think he's Giannis? I don't. But I'm saying that Giannis will get dunks on players because they don't anticipate him dunking from the distance out that he can dunk from.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be able to dunk from there on that move.
You shouldn't reach the rim from as far out as Giannis can reach the rim. And I think, you know, offensive players with the basketball will get a little lazy with it when THT is as far away from them as he can be. And as a result, he'll have opportunities to swipe the ball away from players because they're like, oh yeah, he can't. Oh my God, he just reached me. What the hell, you know? And it's this really funny thing that you watch him. It happens, you know, when he's engaged defensively 2-3 times a game where he deflects a pass. He had a steal today. So the Lakers, I think, turned the ball over. Yeah. Alex Caruso, who had a, I think that's about as bad as Caruso is going to play. But he dribbled middle and had the ball knocked off of his knee, and it goes out of bounds on the opposite sideline. So they're inbounding the ball, and THT, like, they just happen to be talking about him because he had scored on the previous play, and he's just like jogging back or whatever. And they throw the inbounds pass, and he just casually just like reaches up and catches it with the one hand. And you could, and it's Jokic throwing that pass too, by the way. He's the best passing big man in the NBA right now. He throws this pass, and again, I just don't think these guys, at least right now, are understanding how long this dude is, because it's unnatural how long he is.
Yeah, you know, he gets to plays that he's got no business getting to, right? And yeah, like you said, like, this is supposed to work the way that it's supposed to. This is supposed to work a certain way.
You're
supposed
frazzled to be open now.
This defender, I am. I know you got me a little, you know. Let's go to break.
Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. I took the L in yesterday's bet of the day.
because the Lakers came back and really took it to the Denver Nuggets. Happily wrong on that front. Today's bet of the day with the Lakers not in action is going to be on the Brooklyn Nets. They are favored by only 4.5 at home against the Toronto Raptors. That means that the line setters are thinking that the Nets are only 1.5 points better than the Raptors, and I think that's kind of off. So that's where my doll hairs are going to be going. If you guys want to follow me or you guys want to fade me, that is totally your call. Don't blame you at all for fading me, because I am not particularly good at this. But if you are good at this and you want to make a couple extra bucks, you're going to want to do this at betonline.ag. Super easy website to use. The payouts are quick and easy as well. And that's the whole point of this. My only request is that if you are going to do any gambling, please do so responsibly. One more time, that is betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus.
All right, Pete and I are going to try to collect ourselves. The breaks aren't quite long enough here. But the individuals that I wanted to shout out, we already talked about THT, and I mean, if he does continue to get better from this, then the Lakers really, really do have like one of the most special young players to come along in a little bit. But individuals that I wanted to shout out, so I have listed here, Ku, Schroeder, Trez, and LeBron. Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Trez.
I was hoping you would go there. So Trez, coming off of the playoffs that he just had last year with the Clippers, where that Denver team embarrassed his Clippers team, right? They come back from 3-1, and the analysis coming out of it was that Trez can't be on the court at the same time as Jokic and let alone guard him for stretches. And he finishes the game. So he goes for 13 points, 4 boards, plus 12 on the night, and looked like he fit right in out there.
Yeah. And I, to be clear, I don't think he can guard Jokic still, right?
No. But, yeah. I wouldn't, it wouldn't be my starting point of where I would start games with. Yeah.
For sure. But Jokic isn't going to play every minute. And even when he does, especially if you're playing him alongside AD, and this is more probably in a playoff situation, but in those units where, say, Jokic is on the court and AD and Trez are on the court, AD should be the guy who's defending him. But Trez has value out on the perimeter. Trez is part of the reason why we're fast. Mm-hmm. He's not, probably not a top 5 speed guy on our team, but he's one of the fastest big guys in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Use that to his advantage in transition on several possessions in this game. And then when you ask him to show high on a ball screen, right, and to show at the level of the screen, he's doing his job, right? He's not getting beat outside leg very often. He's, he's a perimeter guy. He's a perimeter defender.
Yeah.
He's a guy that can cover a lot of distance. And just if you ask him to do the things that he can do well, like, he's pretty good at those things. I don't want to act like he's the best perimeter defending big, but like, he's fine. Yeah. Especially when you consider dudes going like 6-for-8 from the field every single night on the other end. Mm-hmm. Like, if you could put him in defensive situations where he's fine, he's totally good, it plays to his talents, that's the way to do it. We saw that tonight.
Yeah, I particularly enjoyed it's not just that he's fast for his size, but it's that he plays at a pace that allows him to take advantage of his quickness and his speed, right? His motor is so incredible. He just never stops. And like, I thought one of the biggest plays of the night, to be completely honest, was a play that him just running allows LeBron to make that insane laser pass, that hit ahead pass that, Trez kind of fumbled a little bit. But as he's fumbling the ball, Jokic runs into the back of him and enacts Jokic's fourth foul. And I thought from that point on, Denver never really had their feet underneath them again. And that's literally just created by Trez being faster than Jokic and also running hard enough to continue to be that much faster than him.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's why it was such a tale of two halves, in that we were faster than them the whole time.
Yeah,
we're playing at their pace, right? We are, right. team ideally that we are dictating the terms, the pace of the game when we're at our best. It's also, I mean, I thought this was going to be a loss, Anthony. I thought this was going to be about a 10, 12 point loss because there were a lot of environmental factors, right? Mm-hmm. In that the first home game coming back.
Oh, you're saying you would have made the same bet that I did?
Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't have, wouldn't have put money on it. But touche. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, so first came back from a long road trip. Those are always tough. We haven't been particularly good at home this season. Denver's been playing very well recently.
And they had like a full week off.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of time off. They've been playing great. And there's also, this is a more important game for Denver than it is for us, mm-hmm. right? Like it's a rematch of the conference finals. Kind of the Lakers are always kind of a team that teams get up for, but also when we're the defending champs, it's a measuring stick. We're a measuring stick game against
absolutely
a team that lost to us in the playoffs. And so just for a lot of factors, I was like, yeah, I don't know if we're going to win this one tonight. In the first half, that's kind of what it looked like. But as soon as we, and Schroeder's dive, man, if we're giving guys props, that dive God, yeah. toward the end of the first half, if we're talking like the spirit and joy and energy that when the Lakers are playing well, that's all of those attributes really shine through. And he kicked it off and kind of kicked it off out of nowhere because we had none of that. And then this dude's flopping on the ground and doing belly flops and landing on the floor all hard. And I thought helped us helped catalyze the team going into the locker room, even though we didn't play particularly well at the end of that second quarter. That was just kind of the first little signs of life.
I mean, if I were Frank Vogel, I would have asked my film guy or film person, hey, just cue up that play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Frank was so, did you see how fired up Frank was?
He went and helped him up off the court.
Like, yeah. He never does that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but yeah, if I was, you know, just trying to get guys going in the locker room, I just play that play on replay a couple times. I say, this dude is laying out for you twice, like full Superman dives. And you guys are going to show the effort that you had to close that half. Get the bleep out of here. We got to match that level. We have to match that level if we're going to not embarrass ourselves in this game.
Absolutely. I dig Schroeder in a different way than I expected to, but yeah, I just dig what that guy's all about.
He was actually one of the other players I wanted to talk about, but I we'll come back to him. I wanted to make sure we gave Kuz a shout out here because if I would have said this to you, right, Pete, after his rookie season, that he would play noticeably well in a game that the Lakers dominated, a team that they played in the Western Conference last year. He would have played like so well that he jumps off the screen to me while only scoring 11 points. Like, would you have thought that was possible?
Just incredible growth. Such a unique career arc too in that respect. He mm-hmm. went from a guy who's giving you 18, 19 a night and contributing to losses to guy giving you 8 to 12 and contributing to wins. And it's not just because the team around him is better. It's he's blocking shots. He's rebounding the ball well. He's taking charges. Mm-hmm. He's really good on defense. He did a great job on Murray as well. Those minutes where Jokic after that picked up that foul our collective size with THT and Kuz out there. Mm-hmm. And then with all the other guys, we're just like big and skilled and
fast.
And fast. And Kuz is just right in the middle of that. And against a bigger team like Denver, you know, that plays these bigger guys. I talked about the starting lineup earlier, and then you got like a MPJ coming off of the bench. They've got a lot of size. And so Kuz has been really good against the Nuggets, you know, at least over the last couple of seasons. And his growth, man, as an overall player, I'm so impressed. I'm so excited to see the winning player that he's become. And like you said, yeah, he can score 11 points. And it's like Kuzu's all over the place and a big part of the win.
I talked about the play with Harrell earlier being an effort play that knocked Jokic out of the game for the final 3 minutes of the third quarter. Another huge play happened. So the Lakers are down at that time 7 points, right? And it was kind of a scramble play. I think the Lakers turned the ball over. MPJ has a wide open three-pointer at the top of the key that if he makes it a double-digit game and Denver regains momentum, right? One of those threes that probably force a timeout. Instead, Kuzma hustles back, blocks a shot. Schroeder gets the rebound. Millsap bumps into Schroeder. Schroeder goes down and knocks down those two free throws. So instead of it being a 10-point game that Frank Vogel just called a frustrated timeout for. It is now a 5-point game, and I believe Denver wound up having to call that time, call a timeout themselves at the end of those two free throws. It's so huge, that that swing there. And then the other one, the other moment that I wanted to talk about, him walking off of the court after his final kind of stretch of the game, and the enjoyment that he had on his face, like the joy that he showed on his face and that everybody else like sitting there on the bench had for him because of the type of game that he played, was so cool. Because it's not just that he's made that growth, but he's enjoying this role, right? He's reveling in the fact that he can impact these games the way that he's impacting them all over the court, whether it's rebounding, right? He had that stretch where he was rebounding the ball like crazy. He had in this game two block shots and is hustling all over the court, took that one charge on Jermichael Green. That was a big one. And the fact that he's walking off the court and he understands his value to this game is so it's as important as the role fulfillment itself, in my opinion.
You got to take pride and joy in those little things in order to be good at them.
Continue to
and
do them.
That's the it's a huge thing. And the thing is he's capable of all of it. He's such a dynamic, versatile type of player that who knew? Like, he was this scorer, and that was pretty much the one thing he did well. And now it's just such a change in narrative, a change in the way that he impacts the game. It's so cool to see.
All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about LeBron because we didn't get to him in this segment. And then when we come back, I also want to revisit the conversation that we had heading into the season about this being such a potentially really special team. This is the kind of game that really kind of showcases, okay, yeah, yep, what we were talking about. It wasn't a fever dream that we had those discussions in the beginning of the year.
Quick reminder that after this show, I am going to record an episode of Locked On NBA with Adam, who covers the Nuggets for Locked On Nuggets. And I can't wait to have a little bit of fun with him over this one. So you guys can find that everywhere that you find podcasts. It's on the same places that you find this one. Subscribe to that. And every Friday, Adam and I hop on there and we have a really good time talking about the NBA at large. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will save 20% off your next order. Not your first, your next. So however often you go to the website and you make a purchase, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to save 20% off. And you're saving 20% off on an incredible product. We've been working with these guys forever now, and it is the kind of thing, the kind of partnership you're really proud of, not just because of the ability that we've been able to work together, but also because of how great the product itself is and how easy it is to sell. I've told my family about it, close friends back home, friends that I've made out here. I personally use it almost every day, basically. I would probably say I'm closer to every day than anything else, any other way you could describe this thing. It's great for me because I'm always on the go, always have some errand to run or something to write or something like that. Avery got into some kind of trash or something, so I have to clean up and don't have enough time to eat a full meal. Built Bar has been great with that. I've lost weight since we've started working with them because it's a super healthy bar. Great flavors, great textures, just an all-around fantastic product. So one more time, head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, the best protein bar you'll ever eat. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to RockAuto.com where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now. And you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high-tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part. And that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, RockAuto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So LeBron finishes 27 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, a block shot, only two turnovers, and was a plus 21 after going 12 of 19 from the field, 2 of 5 from three-point range. Did have an airballed free throw, which certainly happened. That was a funny moment.
We had a few of those tonight, didn't we?
Yeah, Kuz. Kuz also had one.
Kuz airballed like wide right. It wasn't even like your typical short.
Yeah,
air ball. It was like he just fell over.
Like he just
yeah. Yeah,
it's the kind of thing that we can laugh at now. But like, had the second half gone a little differently,
yeah, we wouldn't be too funny. What the hell's up with their free throws? And, no, that's the thing. We stunk in a few parts of the game.
At least AD only had 13 points on 8 shots.
Our defensive rebounding was really bad in the first. That was one thing. That's part of our scrambling, is that our guards got to, because neither Trez nor Mark are really good defensive rebounders. Mm-hmm. So guys got to get in there. We saw that in the second half. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there one time before we ended the show.
Yeah, absolutely. But the LeBron factor here. So his claim to MVP, I think, has taken a bit of a hit, right? Losing to Detroit the way that they did. And then Jokic playing the way that he did against Utah, right? In a blowout win against a team that was the hottest team in the NBA at that time. And then LeBron goes out and has a game like this and, you know, just continues to remind you, like, yeah, you could look for all the reasons you want to give the award to somebody else or to vote for somebody else for the award. But at the end of the day, LeBron is just special. Like it's what it comes down to. He's just that kind of special player that he's so great, and he's been so great for so long. It's easy to kind of take that greatness for granted. And then he just kind of reminds you, no, I'm that dude. And if anybody wants to get that claim, take that claim from me as that dude, you're going to have to wait a while.
Part of the reasons why he's that dude is because he knows exactly what the game needs, what the situation calls for,
yeah,
and he's capable of executing it. He came out to start that third quarter, and he was just running the ball down their throats.
Relentlessly.
And he was like, y'all come with me. And yeah, all of a sudden, like, KCP springs to life. Remember, KCP went to the locker room with an ankle issue before, mm-hmm, at the end of the first half. And it, like I said, hasn't been all that good. Schroeder is about it, right? Schroeder wants to be doing that anyway.
Right.
But AD needed to be picked up too, right? Like, AD,
yeah,
I thought really needed an infusion of energy. And LeBron just deciding, like, we're going, mm-hmm, and had that led to some turnovers or things like that, but that's exactly what the team needed right there, was just speed and force and all of these things that take us out of being a jump shooting team. When we're, yeah, just hanging out on the perimeter and playing half court offense, that's when we're at our worst. He flipped the game completely, and it's just that knowledge and understanding that actually, this is exactly what this game needs, and then, mm-hmm, being able to apply it. There's few, probably no one in the league right now that can rival that understanding of what every situation needs. In fact, it's not even all that close.
There was a moment, so Jamichael Green had a weak side put back dunk because LeBron didn't box out. And it would be like peak stupid, right, to credit LeBron for not boxing out, thinking that it would ignite AD in any way or whatever. But so I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying, though, is that, like, AD turns and he was visibly frustrated with LeBron. And I thought that was a big moment there, because
And again, I'm not saying LeBron did this on purpose. I was as annoyed as AD was at the fact that Jermichael just like walked around LeBron and got a dunk at the rim. But AD like turning around and being that kind of frustrated was that kind of like, all right, let's go then kind of moment, you know, like AD turns around. It's like, hey man. And LeBron's like, yes, you're right.
What about
let's
it?
Fucking yeah, go. Let's go. You're right. And
exactly.
And I thought that was a big moment for both guys. Now AD, you know, now what's crazy about AD though, is that he kind of sleepwalked his way through the game and plus minus is still, I think, a very flawed stat, but he still finished. He tied with LeBron for game highs plus 21 on the night. And, you know, it that moment there was, I think it's an important thing. It's one of my favorite kind of relationships about this roster, right? It's that LeBron is a on a status to himself, but the fact that AD feels comfortable enough to turn around and be like, hey, what the hell, dude? You know, I think that's a really important aspect of how this team ticks. And that was a really cool moment. This team ticking, by the way, and I want to just, so we started the year and after Rob Pelinka and everybody put the team together, you and I said, this was the most talented roster of, I think we said in my lifetime, right? Cause you're a little older than me and you actually remember some of do you remember the Showtime era?
I remember the later Showtime era. Actually, yeah. One of the first, this may have damaged my psyche and explained so much about me. I remember crying when we lost to the Celtics in 84. That's one of my first basketball memories.
Gotcha.
The 84 finals. But I'm like 4 years old at that time, right? And so I was like, but I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. Either way, the point still stands, even at 40 years old, right? Like that, this team's as talented, if not more talented, because it's a combination of those like great 2008 or 2009, 2010 teams, mm-hmm. That had a really good bench unit and all that, but one real superstar, and then the Shaq and Kobe teams, right?
Right.
Who and so it's a lot of the best parts of some of the best teams that we've seen.
So that's how we started the season, right? We started the season with those expectations. And you guys know how I treat expectations. Set a low bar and then clear the bar by as much as you possibly can. And then this year, though, like I couldn't help myself. This was such a talented roster. This is such a talented team. They're coming off of a championship and they improved. And I'm saying to myself, I haven't seen anything that would dissuade me from that stance. And then you see them, it's not just Pete that they had a 15-0 run on Denver tonight. It was 24 solid minutes of ass kicking on defense, ass kicking, like making a super talented offensive team look like the Washington Generals.
So that's it right there. And that's part of the reason why I'm so high on this team and so bullish on what we can be in the playoffs. I know this has been said 1,000 times, but like we just won the championship a few months ago, and the beginning of this year, this is the like exhausted with Denver losing. I don't know who else did Miami play tonight. I don't think they did. I don't think the Celtics played tonight. So the other three teams that made the conference finals last year are under 500 on the season. They are 30-32. Mm-hmm. And we're 17-6. That's hard to, like, I know a lot of people are like, yeah, quick turnaround. All right. But that's not normally how it goes. That's not how these guys' bodies are built. And it's like having a heavyweight how often do fighters fight, right? Are they equipped to go back out there in 6 weeks and fight another heavyweight championship?
Right.
They're not, right? And so this is going to be a process. And we've seen it amongst the top teams from last season. In a way that's impacted the Lakers too. Like this is the tired, still revving up version of ourselves that's still figuring out like how to play with each other. But when we want to turn, we did this in game 6 of the NBA finals, man. It wasn't that we dominated Miami. It's that they couldn't get shots up. Denver could not get shots up against us. They couldn't get quality attempts. And like, you play that second half 100 times. If we're playing defense like that, if we're rotating like that, we win all 100 times. Like, yeah, that's the quality of basketball that we're capable of playing. Just a matter of how often can we get there, and will we have luck with injury? And we still have work to do, of course, but that level of defense, nobody else can get there in the NBA.
It's a team that, to this point, you know, the joke, the running joke on Twitter a lot of times is, all right, how many quarters is it going to take to win this game? Right? Like, they basically walk into every game and they say, all right, is this a one quarter game? Is this a half a quarter game? Is this a two quarter game? Is it, you know, what are we looking at here? And in those quarters where they decide to really turn it on, I haven't seen a team stick with them for those quarters. You know, when they really decide, okay, it's time to put the clamps down, and then also get out and finish those defensive stops with transition buckets, there just isn't a team that can reach that gear, right? Picture like Fast and Furious, where two cars are kind of neck and neck, and there's one driver, right? This is like the very first race where Paul Walker is like fully invested in the, he literally blows his car up, right? Trying to stick with Vin Diesel. And all Vin Diesel does is like calmly flip the switch on Nos, and then he takes off and he wins that stretch in dominating fashion. That the Lakers are doing that whenever they want to against whoever they're playing. They're just basically saying like, all right, we'll go. I guess we got to hit the switch. Boom. And then they go. And then it's just kind of over. And now we haven't seen them against this new look Brooklyn Nets team. I think we haven't seen all of these teams kind of at their best. Denver playing without Gary Harris is kind of a big deal in this one, because of like the success that we saw from THT. Gary Harris is a really good defender, and maybe that changes it to a certain extent. But to this point, when the Lakers have really flip that NOS switch, it's over. It's over in dominating fashion.
It's not our offense that's special, not at this point. Our offense is good, and it's got potential to be special, but it's really our defense that's special. It's part of what's so fun about a potential matchup against Brooklyn, mm-hmm. is they've got our defense against their offense. Man, just give me a big old bucket of popcorn, right?
Yeah.
Because that's gonna be amazing. But our ability to, again, shut the water off, and ability to make a team that's as good as Denver is on offense look like they can't get a shot off. That is, man, few teams have been able to do that. I'm trying to think of like, who's the last truly dominant defensive team? Like the Heatles, those 2012, 2013 teams,
yeah,
is probably the last team that kind of reminds me of the Lakers the way they are. The Detroit teams in 2004, right? The mm-hmm. team that beat us in those finals. But by and large, man, our defensive ceiling has so much to do with exactly what you're talking about there, our ability to do that. And it's just super fun to watch.
Well, so like you're talking about a transcendent Heatles team, and then you're likening this defense to those 04 Pistons teams. Those Pistons teams couldn't reach the levels that this team can reach offensively.
Right. I mean, we have LeBron and AD and a dominant defense. Like, I'll take my chances. Whatever the way you want to describe the rest of my team, if I've got a great defense, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I feel pretty good about my shot, my chances of winning a title if health willing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I could literally sit here for another half hour and just sit here and just kind of giggle at what we just watched. And you guys know that, like, you guys, for those of you who've been listening to the show for years, I'm insanely hard on teams, like to the point where you guys get sick of hearing me kind of nitpick and stuff. I'm literally sitting back after this game, and I haven't had a drink in a few weeks, but this is the kind of game that I would have loved to just kind of pour a glass of wine and just sit there on my couch and rewatch tonight, because they're just that good. And I'll probably still likely do it just without the wine tonight, and it'll be fun nonetheless. That's going to do it for this episode and this week's episodes of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Get your questions in. As I said earlier this week, the iTunes mailbag is back. So if you guys have any questions that you definitely want covered, get them in the form of a 5-star review, and I'll answer those on Sunday.
If there are any gaps that I have to fill with questions, or if iTunes is still being kind of sketchy, then I'll ask for questions Sunday evening or so, and I'll answer those at some point over the course of that day, whenever I have time, because Sunday's a big one. Until then, have a great rest of your day, right, / weekend. Please stay safe out there this weekend. I know it's Super Bowl, and everybody is used to getting out and celebrating collectively. Just be safe. Let's get through this together. How much fun, Pete, would tonight have been if we had fans in the stands in that second half? Like, that would have been incredible.
Oh, man, we would have been going nuts. Yeah.
They might have won by 40, to be honest. And that's the end game here for Laker fans, right? That's one of the end games. Some return to normalcy. So please be safe out there. Let's all get back to that point where we can collectively enjoy this Lakers team in person as soon as possible. Again, we will be back on Monday. Thank you guys again for the feedback on the intro, or lack thereof to this point. People seem to enjoy the show back to the way it is. I would agree. And we'll talk to you on Monday.